Welcome to The Mildly Interesting with Oliver Wilson, the official bedtime podcast of former insomniacs. Tomorrow is Monday, November 22nd, go for a ride day. Go for a ride day encourages you to get out into the world, hop on your bike, into your car, or simply get your walking boots out of storage and go on a trip. November 22nd has seen various developments of the transportation industry since as early as 1904, making Go for a Ride Day a celebration of not only cars but any mode of transportation that strikes your fancy. Depending on where you live in the world, you could spend this day traveling somewhere into the unknown by boat, plane, helicopter, car, motorcycle, roller skates, skateboard, or even more old-fashioned modes of transport. You may love a nice relaxing ride on a bicycle, but have you ever wondered about its history? Well, I have. And I think you might just find it mildly interesting. Subscribe to The Mildly Interesting on Apple Podcast, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are available. We'll be right back. A bicycle, also called a bike or cycle, is a human-powered or motor-powered, pedal-driven, single-track vehicle, having two wheels attached to a frame, one behind the other. A bicycle rider is called a cyclist or bicyclist. Bicycles were introduced in the 19th century in Europe, and by the early 21st century, more than 1 billion were in existence. These numbers far exceed the number of cars, both in total and ranked by the number of individual models produced. They are the principal means of transportation in many regions. They also provide a popular form of recreation and have been adapted for use as children's toys, general fitness, military and police applications, courier services, bicycle racing, and bicycle stunts. The basic shape and configuration of a typical upright or safety bicycle has changed little since the first chain-driven model was developed around 1885. However, many details have been improved, especially since the advent of modern materials and computer-aided design. These have allowed for a proliferation of specialized designs for many types of cycling. The bicycle's invention has had an enormous effect on society, both in culture and advancing modern industrial methods. Several components that eventually played a crucial role in the development of the automobile were initially invented for use in the bicycle, including ball bearings, pneumatic tires, chain-driven sprockets, and tension-spoked wheels. Although bike and cycle are used interchangeably to refer primarily to two types of two-wheelers, the terms still vary worldwide. For example, in India, a cycle refers only to a two-wheeler using pedal power, whereas the term bike is used to describe a two-wheeler using an internal combustion engine or electric motors as a source of motive power instead of a motorcycle motorbike. The word bicycle first appeared in English print in the Daily News in 1868 to describe bicycles and tricycles on the Champs-Élysées and Bois de Boulogne. The word was first used in 1847 in a French publication to describe an unidentified two-wheeled vehicle, possibly a carriage. The design of the bicycle was an advance on the velocipede, although the words were used with some degree of overlap for a time. Other words for bicycle include bike, push bike, pedal cycle, or cycle. In Unicode, the code point for bicycle is 0x1F6B2. The entity hashtag X1F6B2 in HTML produces a bicycle. The dandy horse, also called Draisienne or Lorf Maskeen, was the first human means of transport to use only two wheels in tandem and was invented by the German Baron Karl von Drais. It is regarded as the first bicycle, but it did not have pedals. Drais introduced it to Mannheim in 1817, and in Paris in 1818. Its rider sat astride a wooden frame supported by two inline wheels and pushed the vehicle along its feet while steering the front wheel. The first mechanically propelled, two-wheeled vehicle may have been built by Kirkpatrick Macmillan, a Scottish blacksmith, in 1839, although the claim is often disputed. He is also associated with the first recorded instance of a cycling traffic offence, when a Glasgow newspaper in 1842 reported an accident in which an anonymous gentleman from Dumfriesshire bestride a velocipede of ingenious design knocked over a little girl in Glasgow and was fined 5 shillings. In the early 1860s, Frenchmen Pierre Michaud and Pierre Lemaine took bicycle design in a new direction by adding a mechanical crank drive with pedals on an enlarged front wheel, the velocipede. This was the first in mass production. Another French inventor named Douglas Grasso had a failed prototype of Pierre Lemaine's bicycle several years earlier. Several inventions followed using rear-wheel drive, the best known being the rod-driven velocipede by Scotsman Thomas McCall in 1869. In that same year, bicycle wheels with wire spokes were patented by Eugène Meyer of Paris. The French velocipede, made of iron and wood, developed into the penny farthing, historically known as an ordinary bicycle, a retronym, since there was then no other kind. It featured a tubular steel frame on which were mounted wire-spoked wheels with solid rubber tires. These bicycles were difficult to ride due to their high seat and poor weight distribution. In 1868, Rowley Turner, a Coventry sewing machine company, which soon became the Coventry Machinists Company, brought a Michaud cycle to Coventry, England. His uncle, Josiah Turner, and business partner James Starley used this as a basis for the Coventry model in Britain's first cycle factory. The Dwarf Ordinary addressed some of these faults by reducing the front wheel diameter and setting the seat further back. This, in turn, required gearing, affected in a variety of ways, to efficiently use pedal power. Having to both pedal and steer via the front wheel remained a problem. Englishman J.K. Starley, nephew of James Starley, J.H. Lawson, and Shergold solved this problem by introducing the chain drive, originated by the unsuccessful bicyclette of Englishman Henry Lawson, connecting the frame-mounted cranks to the rear wheel. These models were known as safety bicycles, dwarf safeties, or upright bicycles for their lower seat height and better weight distribution, although without pneumatic tires, the ride of the smaller wheeled bicycle would be much rougher than that of the larger wheeled variety. Starley's 1885 Rover, manufactured in Coventry, is usually described as the first recognizably modern bicycle. Soon the seat tube was added, creating the modern bike's double triangle diamond frame. Further innovations increased comfort and ushered in a second bicycle craze, the 1890s golden age of bicycles. In 1888, Scotsman John Boyd Dunlop introduced the first practical pneumatic tire, which soon became universal. Willie Hume demonstrated the supremacy of Dunlop's tires in 1889, winning the tires' first ever races in Ireland and then England. Soon after, the rear free wheel was developed, enabling the rider to coast. This refinement led to the 1890s invention of coaster brakes. Derailleur gears and hand-operated Bowden cable pull brakes were also developed during these years but were only slowly adopted by casual riders. The Sphere Velocipede with the vertical pedal arrangement and locking hubs in 1892 by the Swedish engineers Fredrik Lundström and Birger Lundström. It attracted attention at the World Fair and was produced in a few thousand units. In the 1870s, many cycling clubs flourished. They were popular when there were no cars on the market, and the principal mode of transportation was horse-drawn vehicles, such as the horse and buggy or the horse car. Among the earliest clubs was the Bicycle Touring Club, which has operated since 1878. By the turn of the century, cycling clubs flourished on both sides of the Atlantic and touring, and racing became widely popular. The Raleigh Bicycle Company was founded in Nottingham, England, in 1888. It became the biggest bicycle manufacturing company in the world, making over 2 million bikes per year. Bicycles and horse buggies were the two mainstays of private transportation before the automobile, and the grading of smooth roads in the late 19th century was stimulated by the widespread advertising, production, and use of these devices. More than 1 billion bicycles have been manufactured worldwide as of the early 21st century. Bicycles are the most common vehicle of any kind in the world, and the most numerous model of any kind of vehicle, whether human-powered or motor vehicle, is the Chinese flying pigeon, with numbers exceeding 500 million. The next most numerous vehicle, the Honda Super Cub motorcycle, has more than 100 million units made, while the most produced car, the Toyota Corolla, has reached 44 million and counting. From the beginning and still today, bicycles have been and are employed for many uses. In a utilitarian way, bicycles are used for transportation, bicycle commuting, and utility cycling. It can be used as a workhorse, used by mail carriers, paramedics, police, messengers, and general delivery services. Military uses of bicycles include communications, reconnaissance, troop movement, supply of provisions, and patrol. The bicycle is also used for recreational purposes, such as bicycle touring, mountain biking, physical fitness, and play. Bicycle competition includes BMX racing, track racing, criterium, roller racing, sportives, and time trials. Major multi-stage professional events are the Giro d'Italia, the Tour de France, the Vuelta a España, the Tour de Polonia, and the Volta a Portugal. Bikes can be used for entertainment and pleasure, such as in organized mass rides, artistic cycling, and freestyle BMX. The bicycle has undergone continual adaptation and improvement since its inception. These innovations have continued with the advent of modern materials and computer-aided design, allowing for a proliferation of specialized bicycle types, improved bicycle safety, and riding comfort. Bicycles can be categorized in many ways, by function, several riders, general construction, gearing, or using propulsion. The more common types include utility bicycles, mountain bicycles, racing bicycles, touring bicycles, hybrid bicycles, cruiser bicycles, and BMX bikes. Tandems, low riders, tall bikes, fixed gear, folding models, amphibious bicycles, freight bicycles, recumbents, and electric bicycles. Unicycles, tricycles, and quadricycles are not strictly bicycles, as they have respectively 1, 3, and 4 wheels, but are often referred to informally as bikes or cycles. A bicycle stays upright while moving forward by being steered to keep its center of mass over the wheels. This steering is usually provided by the rider, but the bicycle itself may be provided under certain conditions. the combined center of mass of a bicycle, and its rider must lean into a turn to successfully navigate it. This lean is induced by a method known as countersteering, which can be performed by the rider turning the handlebars directly with the hands or indirectly by leaning the bicycle. Short wheelbase or tall bicycles, when braking, can generate enough stopping force at the front wheel to flip longitudinally. The act of purposefully using this force to lift the rear wheel and balance on the front without tipping over is a trick known as a stoppy, endo, or front wheelie. The bicycle is extraordinarily efficient in both biological and mechanical terms. The bicycle is the most efficient human-powered means of transportation in terms of energy a person must expend to travel a given distance. From a mechanical viewpoint, up to 99% of the energy delivered by the rider into the pedals is transmitted to the wheels, although the use of gearing mechanisms may reduce this by 10 to 15%. The ratio of cargo weight a bicycle can carry to the total weight is also an efficient means of cargo transportation. A human traveling on a bicycle at low to medium speeds of around 16 to 24 kilometers per hour, 10 to 15 miles per hour, uses only the power required to walk. Air drag, proportional to the speed square, requires dramatically higher power outputs as speeds increase. If the rider is sitting upright, the rider's body creates about 75% of the total drag of the bicycle or rider combination. Drag can be reduced by seating the rider in a more aerodynamically streamlined position. Drag can also be reduced by covering the bicycle with an aerodynamic fairing. The fastest recorded unpaced speed on a flat surface is 144.18 km per hour, 89.59 miles per hour. In addition, the carbon dioxide generated in the production and transportation of the food required by the bicyclist, per mile traveled, is less than one-tenth that generated by energy-efficient motorcars. Most modern bicycles have a frame with upright seating that looks much like the first chain-driven bike. These upright bicycles almost always feature the diamond frame, a truss consisting of the front and rear triangles. The front triangle consists of the head tube, top tube, down tube, and seat tube. The head tube contains the headset, the set of bearings that allows the fork to turn smoothly for steering and balance. The top tube connects the head tube to the seat tube at the top, and the down tube connects the head tube to the bottom bracket. The rear triangle consists of the seat tube and paired chain stays and seat stays. The chain stays run parallel to the chain, connecting the bottom bracket to the rear dropout, where the axle for the rear wheel is held. The seat stays connected to the top of the seat tube, at or near the same point as the top tube, to the rear fork ends. Historically, women's bicycle frames had a top tube that connected in the middle of the seat tube instead of the top, resulting in a lower standover height at the expense of compromised structural integrity, since this places an intense bending load in the seat tube, and bicycle frame members are typically weak in bending. This design, referred to as a step-through or open frame, allows the rider to mount and dismount in a dignified way while wearing a skirt or dress. While some women's bicycles continue to use this frame style, there is also a variation, the mixed, which splits the top tube laterally into two thinner top tubes that bypass the seat tube on each side and connect to the rear fork ends. The ease of stepping through is also appreciated by those with limited flexibility or other joint problems. Because of its persistent image as a women's bicycle, step-through frames are not standard for larger frames. Step-throughs were popular partly for practical reasons and partly for social mores of the day. For most of the history of bicycles' popularity, women have worn long skirts, and the lower frame accommodated these better than the top tube. Furthermore, it was considered unladylike for women to open their legs to mount and dismount. In more conservative times, women who rode bicycles at all were vilified as immoral or immodest. These practices were akin to the older practice of riding horse side saddle. Another style is the recumbent bicycle. These are inherently more aerodynamic than upright versions, as the rider may lean back onto a support and operate pedals on about the same level as the seat. The world's fastest bicycle is a recumbent bicycle, but this type was banned from competition in 1934 by the Union Cycliste Internationale. Historically, materials used in bicycles have followed a similar pattern as in aircraft, the goal being high strength and low weight. Since the late 1930s, alloy steels have been used for frame and fork tubes in higher quality machines. By the 1980s, aluminium welding techniques had improved so that aluminium tubes could safely be used in place of steel. Since then, aluminium alloy frames and other components have become popular due to their lightweight, and most mid-range bikes are now principally aluminium alloy of some kind. More expensive bikes use carbon fiber due to their significantly lighter weight and profiling ability, allowing designers to make a bike both stiff and compliant by manipulating the layup. Virtually all professional racing bicycles now use carbon fiber frames, as they have the best strength-to-weight ratio. A typical modern carbon fiber frame can weigh less than 1 kilogram, 2.2 pounds. Other exotic frame materials include titanium and advanced alloys. Bamboo, a natural composite material with a high strength-to-weight ratio and stiffness, has been used for bicycles since 1894. Recent versions use bamboo for the primary frame with glued metal connections and parts, priced as exotic models. The drivetrain begins with pedals that rotate the cranks, held in axis by the bottom bracket. Most bicycles use a chain to transmit power to the rear wheel. A minimal number of bicycles use a shaft drive to transmit power or unique belts. Hydraulic bicycle transmissions have been built, but they are currently inefficient and complex. Since cyclists' legs are most efficient over a narrow range of pedaling speeds or cadence, a variable gear ratio helps cyclists maintain an optimum pedaling speed while covering varied terrain. Some, mainly utility, bicycles use hub gears with between 3 and 14 ratios, but most use the generally more efficient derailleur system, by which the chain is moved between different cogs called chainrings and sprockets, to select a ratio. A derailleur system usually has two derailleur, or mechs, one at the front to select the chainring and another at the back to select the sprocket. Most bikes have two or three chainrings and from 5 to 11 sprockets on the back, with the number of theoretical gears calculated by multiplying front by back. In reality, many gears overlap or require the chain to run diagonally, so fewer usable gears are. An alternative to chain drive is to use a synchronous belt. These are toothed and work much like a chain, popular with commuters and long-distance cyclists. They require little maintenance. They can't be shifted across a cassette of sprockets and are used either as a single speed or hub gear. Different gears and ranges of gears are appropriate for different people and styles of cycling. Multi-speed bicycles allow gear selection to suit the circumstances. A cyclist could use a high gear when cycling downhill, a medium gear when cycling on a flat road, and a low gear when cycling uphill. In a lower gear, every turn of the pedals leads to fewer rotations of the rear wheel. This allows the energy required to move the same distance to be distributed over more pedal turns, reducing fatigue when riding uphill, with a heavy load, or against strong winds. A higher gear allows a cyclist to make fewer pedal turns to maintain a given speed, but with more effort per turn of the pedals. With a chain drive transmission, a chainring attached to a crank drives the chain, which in turn rotates the rear wheel via the rear sprockets, cassette or free wheel. There are four gearing options: two speed hub gear integrated with chain ring, up to three chain rings, up to 11 sprockets, hub gear built into the rear wheel, 3 speed to 14 speed. The most common options are either a rear hub or multiple chain rings combined with multiple sprockets. Other options are possible but less common. The handlebars connect to the stem that connects to the fork that connects to the front wheel, and the whole assembly connects to the bike and rotates about the steering axis via the headset bearings. Three styles of handlebar are common. Upright handlebars, the norm in Europe and elsewhere until the 1970s, curve gently back toward the rider, offering a natural grip and comfortable upright position. Drop handlebars drop as they curve forward and down, offering the cyclist best braking power from a more aerodynamic crouched position, as well as more upright positions in which the hands grip the brake lever mounts, the forward curves, or the flat upper sections for increasingly upright postures. Mountain bikes generally feature a straight handlebar or riser bar with varying degrees of sweep backwards and centimeters rise upwards, as well as wider widths which can provide better handling due to increased leverage against the wheel. Saddles also vary with rider preference, from the cushion ones favored by short distance riders to narrower saddles which allow more room for leg swings. Comfort depends on riding position. With comfort bikes and hybrids, cyclists sit high over the seat, their weight directed down onto the saddle, such that a broader and more cushioned saddle is preferable. For racing bikes where the rider is bent over, weight is more evenly distributed between the handlebars and saddle, the hips are flexed, and a narrower and harder saddle is more efficient. Differing saddle designs exist for male and female cyclists, accommodating the gender's differing anatomies and sit bone width measurements, although bikes typically are sold with saddles most appropriate for men. Suspension seat posts and seat springs provide comfort by absorbing shock but can add to the overall weight of the bicycle. When we return, recumbent bicycle. A recumbent bicycle has a reclined chair-like seat that some riders find more comfortable than a saddle, especially riders who suffer from certain types of seat, back, neck, shoulder, or wrist pain. Recumbent bicycles may have either under-seat or over-seat steering. Bicycle brakes may be rim brakes, in which friction pads are compressed against the wheel rims, hub brakes, where the mechanism is contained within the wheel hub, or disc brakes, where pads act on a rotor attached to the hub. Most road bicycles use rim brakes, but some use disc brakes. Disc brakes are more common for mountain bikes, tandems, and recumbent bicycles than other bicycles due to their increased power, coupled with increased weight and complexity. With hand-operated brakes, force is applied to brake levers mounted on the handlebars and transmitted via Bowden cables or hydraulic lines to the friction pads, which apply pressure to the braking surface, causing friction that slows the bicycle down. A rear hub brake may be either hand-operated or pedal-actuated, as in the back pedal brakes, popular in North America until the 1960s. Track bicycles do not have brakes because all riders ride in the same direction around a track, requiring sharp deceleration. Track riders can still slow down because all track bicycles are fixed gear, meaning that there is no free wheel. Without a free wheel, coasting is impossible, so the cranks are moving when the rear wheel is moving. The rider applies resistance to the pedals to slow down, acting as a braking system that can be as effective as a conventional rear wheel brake but not as effective as a front wheel brake. Bicycle suspension refers to the system used to suspend the rider and all or part of the bicycle. This serves two purposes: to keep the wheels in continuous contact with the ground, improve control, and isolate the rider and luggage from jarring due to rough surfaces, improving comfort. Bicycle suspensions are used primarily on mountain bicycles but are also standard on hybrid bicycles, as they can help deal with problematic vibrations from poor surfaces. Suspension is crucial on recumbent bicycles since while an upright bicycle rider can stand on the pedals to achieve some of the suspension benefits, a recumbent rider cannot. Basic mountain bicycles and hybrids usually have front suspension only, while more sophisticated ones also have rear suspension. Road bicycles tend to have no suspension. The wheel axle fits into fork ends in the frame and fork. A pair of wheels may be called a wheel set, especially in the context of ready-built off-the-shelf, performance-oriented wheels. Tires vary enormously depending on their intended purpose. Road bicycles use tires 18 to 25 millimeters wide, often completely smooth or slick, and inflated to high pressure to roll fast on smooth surfaces. Off-road tires are usually between 38 and 64 millimeters, 1.5 and 2.5 in, wide and have treads for gripping in muddy conditions or metal studs for ice. Some components, often optional accessories on sports bicycles, are standard features on utility bicycles to enhance their usefulness, comfort, safety, and visibility. Fenders with spoilers, mud flaps, protect the cyclist and moving parts from spray when riding through wet areas. In some countries, for example, Germany, UK, fenders are called mudguards. The chain guards protect clothes from oil on the chain while preventing clothing from being caught between the chain and crankset teeth. Kickstands keep bicycles upright when parked, and bike locks deter theft. Front-mounted baskets, front or rear luggage carriers or racks, and panniers mounted above either or both wheels can be used to carry equipment or cargo. Pegs can be fastened to one or both of the wheel hubs to either help the rider perform certain tricks or allow a place for extra riders to stand or rest. Parents sometimes add rear-mounted child seats, an auxiliary saddle fitted to the crossbar, or both to transport children. Bicycles can also be fitted with a hitch to tow a trailer carrying cargo, a child, or both. Toe clips and toe straps, and clipless pedals help keep the foot locked in the proper pedal position and enable cyclists to pull and push the pedals. Technical accessories include cyclocomputers for measuring speed, distance, heart rate, GPS data, etc. Other accessories include lights, reflectors, mirrors, racks, trailers, bags, water bottles and cages, and a bell. Bicycle lights, reflectors, and helmets are required by law in some geographic regions depending on the legal code. It is more common to see bicycles with bottle generators, dynamos, lights, fenders, racks, and bells in Europe. Bicyclists also have specialized form-fitting and high-visibility clothing. Children's bicycles may be outfitted with cosmetic enhancements, such as bike horns, streamers, and spoke beads. Training wheels are sometimes used when learning to ride. Bicycle helmets can reduce injury in the event of a collision or accident, and a suitable helmet is legally required of riders in many jurisdictions. Helmets may be classified as an accessory or as an item of clothing. Bike trainers are used to enabling cyclists to cycle while the bike remains stationary. They are frequently used to warm up before races or indoors when riding conditions are unfavorable. Many formal and industry standards exist for bicycle components to help make spare parts exchangeable and maintain minimum product safety. The International Organization for Standardization, ISO, has a special technical committee for cycles, TC149, that has the scope of standardization in the field of cycles, their components and accessories with particular reference to terminology, testing methods and requirements for performance and safety, and interchangeability. The European Committee for Standardization, CEN, also has a specific technical committee, TC333, that defines European standards for cycles. Their mandate states that N-cycle standards shall harmonize with ISO standards. Some N-cycle standards were developed before ISO published their standards, leading to strong European influences in this area. European cycle standards tend to describe minimum safety requirements, while ISO standards have historically harmonized parts geometry. Like all devices with mechanical moving parts, bicycles require a certain amount of regular maintenance and replacement of worn parts. A bicycle is relatively simple compared with a car, so some cyclists choose to do at least part of the maintenance themselves. Some components are easy to handle using relatively simple tools, while others may require specialist manufacturer-dependent tools. Many bicycle components are available at several different price-quality points. Manufacturers generally try to keep all components on any particular bike at about the same quality level, though at the very cheap end of the market, there may be some skimping on less obvious components, for example, bottom bracket. There exist several hundred assisted service community bicycle organizations worldwide. At a community bicycle organization, lay people bring in bicycles needing repair or maintenance, volunteers teach them how to do the required steps. Full service is available from bicycle mechanics at a local bike shop. Some cyclists purchase roadside assistance from companies such as the Better World Club or the American Automobile Association in areas where it is available. The most basic maintenance item is keeping the tires correctly inflated. This can make a noticeable difference in how the bike feels to ride. Bicycle tires usually have a marking on the sidewall indicating the pressure appropriate for that tire. Note that bicycles use much higher pressures than cars. Car tires usually are in the range of 30 to 40 pounds per inch too, while bicycle tires are generally in the range of 60 to 100 pounds per inch too. Another essential maintenance item is regular lubrication of the chain and pivot points for derailleur and brakes. Most of the bearings on a modern bike are sealed and grease-filled and require little or no attention. Such bearings will usually last for 10,000 miles or more. The chain and the brake blocks are the components that wear out most quickly, so these need to be checked from time to time, typically every 500 miles or so. Most local bike shops will do such checks for free. Note that when a chain becomes badly worn, it will also wear out the rear cogs cassette and eventually the chain rings, So replacing a chain when only moderately worn will prolong the life of other components. Over the longer term, tires do wear out, 2,000 to 5,000 miles, a rash of punctures is often the most visible sign of a worn tire. Significantly few bicycle components can actually be repaired. Replacement of the failing component is the standard practice. The most common roadside problem is a puncture. After removing the offending nail tack thorn glass shard, there are two approaches: either mend the puncture by the roadside or replace the inner tube and then mend the puncture in the comfort of home. Some tires are much more puncture resistant than others, often incorporating one or more layers of Kevlar. The downside of such tires is that they may be heavier and or more challenging to fit and remove. There are specialized bicycle tools for use both in the shop and on the road. Many cyclists carry tool kits. These may include a tire patch kit, which, in turn, may contain any combination of a hand pump or CO2 pump, tire levers, spare tubes, self-adhesive patches, or tube patching material, an adhesive, a piece of sandpaper, or a metal grater, for roughing the tube surface to be patched. Special, thin wrenches are often required for maintaining various screw-fastened parts, specifically, the frequently lubricated ball-bearing cones. And sometimes even a block of French chalk, wrenches, hex keys, screwdrivers, and a chain tool. There are also cycling-specific multi-tools that combine many of these implements into a single compact device. More specialized bicycle components may require more complex tools, including proprietary tools specific for a given manufacturer. The bicycle has had a considerable effect on human society, in both the cultural and industrial realms. Around the turn of the 20th century, bicycles reduced crowding in inner-city tenements by allowing workers to commute from more spacious dwellings in the suburbs. They also reduced dependence on horses. Bicycles allowed people to travel for leisure into the country, since bicycles were three times as energy efficient as walking and three to four times as fast. In built-up cities worldwide, urban planning uses cycling infrastructure like bikeways to reduce traffic congestion and air pollution. Several cities worldwide have implemented schemes known as bicycle sharing systems or community bicycle programs. The first of these was the White Bicycle Plan in Amsterdam in 1965. It was followed by Yellow Bicycles in La Rochelle and Green Bicycles in Cambridge. These initiatives complement public transport systems and offer an alternative to motorized traffic to help reduce congestion and pollution. In Europe, especially in the Netherlands and parts of Germany and Denmark, bicycle commuting is every day. In Copenhagen, a cyclists' organization runs a cycling embassy that promotes biking for commuting and sightseeing. The United Kingdom has a tax break scheme, IR176, that allows employees to buy a new bicycle tax-free for commuting. In the Netherlands, all train stations offer free bicycle parking, or a more secure parking place for a small fee, with the larger stations also offering bicycle repair shops. Cycling is so popular that the parking capacity may be exceeded, while in some places such as Delft, the capacity is usually exceeded. In Trondheim in Norway, the tramp bicycle lift has been developed to encourage cyclists by giving assistance on a steep hill. Buses in many cities have bicycle carriers mounted on the front. There are towns in some countries where bicycle culture has been an integral part of the landscape for generations, even without much official support. That is the case of Ilavo in Portugal. In cities where bicycles are not integrated into the public transportation system, Commuters often use bicycles as elements of a mixed-mode commute, where the bike is used to travel to and from train stations or other forms of rapid transit. Some students who commute several miles drive a car from home to a campus parking lot, then ride a bicycle to class. Folding bicycles are useful in these scenarios, as they are less cumbersome when carried aboard. Los Angeles removed a small amount of seating on some trains to make more room for bicycles and wheelchairs. Some US companies, notably in the tech sector, are developing innovative cycle designs and cycle friendliness in the workplace. Foursquare, whose CEO Dennis Crowley pedaled to pitch meetings when he was raising money from venture capitalists on a two-wheeler, chose a new location for its New York headquarters based on where biking would be easy. Parking in the office was also integral to HQ planning. Mitchell Moss, who runs the Rudin Center for Transportation Policy and Management at New York University, said in 2012, "Biking has become the mode of choice for the educated high-tech worker. Bicycles offer an important mode of transport in many developing countries. Until recently, bicycles have been a staple of everyday life throughout Asian countries. They are the most frequently used method of transport for commuting to work, school, shopping, and life in general. In Europe, bicycles are commonly used. They also offer a degree of exercise to keep individuals healthy. Bicycles are also celebrated in the visual arts. An example of this is the Bicycle Film Festival, a film festival hosted all around the world. Bicycle poverty reduction is the concept that access to bicycles and the transportation infrastructure to support them dramatically reduces poverty. This has been demonstrated in various pilot projects in South Asia and Africa. Experiments were done in Africa, Uganda and Tanzania, and Sri Lanka on hundreds of households have shown that a bicycle can increase the income of a poor family by as much as 35%. Transport, if analyzed for the cost-benefit analysis for rural poverty alleviation, has given one of the best returns in this regard. For example, road investments in India were a staggering 3 to 10 times more effective than almost all other investments and subsidies in the rural economy in the 1990s. What a road does at a macro level to increase transport, the bicycle supports at the micro level. The bicycle, in that sense, can be one of the best means to eradicate poverty in poor nations. The safety bicycle gave women unprecedented mobility, contributing to their emancipation in Western nations. As bicycles became safer and cheaper, more women had access to the personal freedom that bicycles embodied, and so the bicycle came to symbolize the new woman of the late 19th century, especially in Britain and the United States. The bicycle craze in the 1890s also led to a movement for so-called rational dress, which helped liberate women from corsets and ankle-length skirts and other restrictive garments, substituting the then shocking bloomers. The bicycle was recognized by 19th-century feminists and suffragists as a freedom machine for women. American Susan B. Anthony said in a New York World interview on the 2nd of February 1896, "I think it has done more to emancipate woman than any one thing in the world. I rejoice every time I see a woman ride by on a wheel. It gives her a feeling of self-reliance and independence the moment she takes her seat, and away she goes, the picture of untrammeled womanhood." In 1895, Frances Willard, the tightly laced president of the Woman's Christian Temperance Union, wrote A Wheel Within a Wheel, How I Learned to Ride the Bicycle, with some reflections, by the way, a 75-page illustrated memoir praising Gladys, her bicycle, for its gladdening effect on her health and political optimism. Willard used a cycling metaphor to urge other suffragists to action. In 1985, Georgina Terry started the first women-specific bicycle company. Her designs featured frame geometry and wheel sizes that better fit women, with shorter top tubes and more suitable reach. Bicycle manufacturing proved to be a training ground for other industries and led to advanced metalworking techniques, both for the frames themselves and for particular components such as ball bearings, washers, and sprockets. These techniques later enabled skilled metalworkers and mechanics to develop the components used in early automobiles and aircraft. Wilbur and Orville Wright, a pair of businessmen, ran the Wright Cycle Company, which designed, manufactured, and sold their bicycles during the bike boom of the 1890s. They also served to teach the industrial models later adopted, including mechanization and mass production, later copied and adopted by Ford and General Motors, vertical integration, also later copied and adopted by Ford, aggressive advertising, as much as 10% of all advertising in US periodicals in 1898, was by bicycle makers lobbying for better roads, which had the side benefit of acting as advertising, and of improving sales by providing more places to ride, all first practiced by Pope. In addition, bicycle makers adopted the annual model change, later derided as planned obsolescence and usually credited to General Motors, which proved very successful. Early bicycles were an example of conspicuous consumption, being adopted by the fashionable elites. In addition, by serving as a platform for accessories, which could ultimately cost more than the bicycle itself, it paved the way for the likes of the Barbie doll. Bicycles helped create or enhance new businesses, such as bicycle messengers, traveling seamstresses, riding academies, and racing rinks. Their board tracks were later adapted to early motorcycle and automobile racing. There were a variety of new inventions, such as spoke tighteners, specialized lights, socks and shoes, and even cameras, such as the Eastman Company's Poco. The best known and most widely used of these inventions adopted well beyond cycling is Charles Bennett's bike web, which came to be called the jockstrap. They also presaged a move away from public transit that would explode with the introduction of the automobile. J.K. Starley's company became the Rover Cycle Company Limited in the late 1890s, and then simply the Rover Company when it started making cars. Morris Motors Limited, in Oxford, and Skoda also began in the bicycle business, as did the Wright brothers. Alistair Craig, whose company eventually emerged to become the engine manufacturers Ailsa Craig, also started manufacturing bicycles in Glasgow in March 1885. In general, US and European cycle manufacturers used to assemble cycles from their own frames and components made by other companies, although huge companies, such as Raleigh, used to make almost every part of a bicycle, including bottom brackets, axles, etc. In recent years, those bicycle makers have significantly changed their methods of production. Now, almost none of them produce their own frames. Many newer or smaller companies only design and market their products, the actual production is done by Asian companies. For example, some 60% of the world's bicycles are now being made in China. Despite this shift in production, as nations such as China and India become more wealthy, their use of bicycles has declined due to the increasing affordability of cars and motorcycles. One of the primary reasons for the proliferation of Chinese-made bicycles in foreign markets is China's lower labor cost. In line with the European financial crisis, in Italy in 2011, the number of bicycle sales, 1.75 million, just past the number of new car sales. One of the profound economic implications of bicycle use is that it liberates the user from oil consumption. Ballantyne, 1972, the bicycle is an inexpensive, fast, healthy, and environmentally friendly mode of transport. Ivan Illich stated that bicycle use extended the usable physical environment for people, while alternatives such as cars and motorways degraded and confined people's environment and mobility. Currently, 2 billion bicycles are in use around the world. Children, students, professionals, laborers, civil servants, and seniors are pedaling around their communities. They all experience the freedom and the natural opportunity for exercise that the bicycle quickly provides. The bicycle also has the lowest carbon intensity of travel. The proper Islamic bicycle for Iranian women is a topic of heated discussion in Sunni and Shia Islam. The global bicycle market was $61 billion in 2011. As of 2009, 130 million bicycles were sold globally, and 66% of them were made in China.